What a privilege to greet all of you one more time and say thanks for being a part of LifePoint Church. Real quick, if you are joining us online through our live stream, our podcast, Facebook Live, we just want to give a shout out to you. Do me a favor if you're watching us live. Tell us where you are in the world. We've got folks all over the world watching through deployments, PCSs, just traveling on vacations, or they've moved out of Clarksville, and you're connected to LifePoint through our live stream, our Facebook app, however you're here. We're just so thankful for you. We love being one church in many places. We're a church that's three physical locations, but also we got campuses all over the place through the internet and technology. Shout out also to all of our podcast listeners, and we love our North Clarksville campus. They're doing a great job as well. Well, hey, if you've been through Growth Track, shout out Growth Track. Come on, where you at? You've been through, you're on the dream team. Where you at? There you go. Everyone who shouted right now serves. Everyone who was quiet, your next step is Growth Track. We're ready for you. If you've been through our Growth Track, you've heard about how we're structured as a church and the governance system of our church. And let me just tell you about that a little bit. We are led by our staff and our pastors here, and we have a great board of trustees that hold us accountable, and they help manage the things, budgets, buildings, finances, that kind of stuff. And they just do such a great job. We got some really smart people on our board of trustees. We always want to over-inform you as the congregation as to what's happening here at the church and let you know all the things that are happening and going on here. But we are also covered and protected by a group of men outside of this house who have led strong ministries, and there's some qualifications that they meet, and I just am so thankful for them. We call them our overseers. We're strengthened by overseers, particularly my family, me and my wife Stephanie and I. We personally benefit from these. These are men who are a generation older than me, smarter than me, have done a lot more than I ever have, and their kids love God, their marriages are healthy, and they have access to my life personally. They can call me out on some junk, you know what I'm saying? They pray for me, but they also love you. They know about LifePoint Church. They love you. They pray for you. They've been involved with a lot of decision processes and things like that along the way, and one of our overseers is here this morning to bring it, y'all. Can you do me a favor? Hey, this guy, he's an Italian stallion, but he's from Louisiana long enough that I'm going to call him an Italian Cajun, which is why I like him, because I'm Cajun too. And he pastored Healing Place for a very long time in Baton Rouge. Now he's on staff, preaching team with the Church of the Highlands in Birmingham. And he's also the director for the Association of Related Churches, the ARC, which we plant churches through. LifePoint, come on, get up and give it up for Pastor Dino Rizzo. Come on, everybody.
Oh, God's good. Amen. Oh, it's just so great to be here. I tell you, I just love this church and love coming over here and just feel like family when I'm here. And I came, but I didn't bring my voice. I left my voice in Birmingham. So it sounds worse than I feel. So I feel fine, but my voice is not here. So I apologize that I feel like a frog and talking real deep like this. I was trying to do other voices in the back, like, hello, or trying to be English, like, hey. And so it's not working for me. So I'm going to stay with a deep, dark Italian voice. And so anyway, what's going on? But it's great to see you. Great to be a part of LifePoint. Love this church. Love what you're about. And just love to see what God is doing. I want to welcome all those who have joined us online. And it's amazing to see what God has done. Just getting the reports last week from Easter. It's just incredible. Reaching people, helping people. And I think that's one of the things I love most about this church. So I've gotten to know you. And, of course, do life with your pastors and the team here, is you're a church that helps people through a process. I was not raised in church, didn't come into the church world till I was about 18 years old. We went to church a little bit, not much. My dad was a good, what he called a non-practicing Catholic. I don't really know what that is. That's what he was, Italian. My mother was a non-attending church Baptist girl. And so we worked on the weekends. We didn't go to church. And we were not a family that would have ever went to church much. So the church came to us through outreach. I came to Christ because a church like this had an idea. Very small church, but did an outreach. So I was impacted by it. And, most of the time when I was little, I went to church, I got in trouble. Come on. And so, all I remember was leaving church, getting a whipping. And so it's great to go to church and have some fun and feel good about life and be able to hear the truth. And so that's the kind of church that you're in right now. And you help people on a process. I love the Growth Track, the next step. So important, because you love people and you want people to, you're patient with people. Because we come from all different backgrounds. We come all out of all different type of situations. And so I love your pastors and this team that's going to do everything you can, take good next step. You're a generous church. I mean, when the tornadoes came through, it wasn't 15, 20 minutes, and your pastor was on the phone. We were talking, aligning, sorting out resources, and we, you know, just being able to be a part of caring for people, responding. I think that's what the church ought to be. I think when pain hits a community, the church ought to respond. And so thank you for being such a generous church, a caring church. And I know that comes right out of your heart as a church and your heart as pastor. So we love your pastors. Well, we got to know Pastor Mike and Stephanie over the last several years and watch this church grow. And I get to be a part of a great church in Birmingham, Church of the Highlands. A church like this, multiple services, different spaces, and helping people get baptized and you know, seeing so many people make a decision like you did last weekend at Easter. So we do a lot of similar things together and get to travel some, be in some great churches. But I'll tell you, you don't see this a lot, what God is doing here. Just a real, real incredible thing. And I know God is up to something. And thank God for a group of people that are not afraid to wait in line a little bit and to kind of, you know, run in here and get your seat and send your wife to get coffee. Just get real strategic. I'll tell you what. There's like an app called, you know, how to deal with LifePoint. Come on, somebody. It's like Disney World. You know, kind of what fast pass line do I go in? And you go get the ice cream with ears, and I'll go get us a seat. It's just awesome. And but thank God for it. I you know what it says? It says that you love people. And that you care about people. I think that's what it's all about. I think church is reaching people. So you're doing that as a church. That comes right out of the heart of your pastors. And I can tell you this. I love what I get to do. But probably the honor of my life is to be able to come alongside of churches. Be an overseer. Where I provide support and prayer for your pastors. And accountability. And I can tell you this. Your church is doing it right. The integrity. The opportunity to be financial accountability. You're doing it. And so I just give you a good report today. Church is doing well. Your pastors are healthy. And I just give God the glory. Can we clap our hands for our pastors and thank God, Pastor Mike and Stephanie? They the real deal. They love you and they love God. And we talk about you constantly. We talk probably every week, Pastor Mike and I talk. And so he has people in his life. And so I think that's all. We live in a crazy world today. We need friends. And so we've just decided to be a friend to this church, friend to your pastors. And so it's an honor. I'm Italian, and my wife is Cajun, so we know how to be friends. Matter of fact, we those friends that show up and not leave. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, I just make myself at home everywhere I go, whether they like it or not. I may show up at your house this afternoon, sit on your couch. I'll get your refrigerator. Don't even ask. I may use your toilet. Come on, somebody. I ain't worried about it. We just make ourselves at home kind of people, and so our family's doing well. Brought a picture of my family, and so this is the Rizzos. And we're doing well in Birmingham. Let me just say this. When the dog has made the picture, you're no longer in control of your house. And so that's my situation right now. I'm no longer leading my home. And so that's our dog, Saint. And then that's McCall. She's working there at Church of the Highlands and just got engaged. So we're having a lot of fun. That's my son, Dylan. He's up in New York at the Hillsong Church on that team. And then that's our beautiful, that's Isabella, that's my baby girl, Italian, Bella, and so that's our baby girl, and then that's my wife right there, we've been married 29 years, that is Delin Monique Rizzo, and I say that because some days she's like little Delin, and other days she's like, Monique, you need to get out my face, and so I married a strong woman, that's a strong woman right there, and a best Christian I know is that girl right there. So that's our family. I just want to show you a picture of our family because we feel like we're family here at LifePoint. So we love you guys, and I can't wait to get into the Word. You know, one thing I love about your pastor, and I'm going to tell you this, this is noticeable in his life, is he loves the Word of God. He believes in teaching the Word of God. It's a Bible church. I love how Pastor Mike lets the Bible do the work. And so I want to come alongside of God's Word, talk for a few minutes, talk around the idea of the big reveal. So let's all pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for our pastors. We thank you for what you're doing in this house, at every location, Lord, what you're doing with in the Kids Point, what's happening with LifePoint students and all the LifePoint groups and all the people that are coming to be a part through the growth track and even those that are taking a good step today to discover and to learn all that you have for them. So, Lord, I pray you speak to us today. We say again, we've not arrived. We're still trying to figure some things out. Lord, help us to never be a people that feel like we know everything. Help us to be a people that are still learning. So, Lord, we love you and we honor you. In Jesus' name, everybody said a good amen. Come on, turn to the person next to you and say, I'm glad you made it to church today. Come on, be nice. Now look at that other person that was your second choice and tell them, you look like you could use some church, my friend. That's how we say it down in Louisiana, churcha, churcha. Boy, it's an honor to be here. I've got a friend of mine, Adam. He works on our art team, and he's living over in Memphis, so he came over. It's just a great part of the country. I'll tell you that right now. I love it here. Good weather, and man, y'all said, yeah, I like cold weather, so I like cold weather. I enjoy it. Being down in Louisiana, we have two seasons, hot and hot. And so that's kind of how it is, hot and rainy, hot and sweaty. And so that's what we do. Hey, First Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. This is a great scripture that always helps me to understand how life works. There are certain portions of the Bible, certain scriptures, whether you believe it or not, whether you think God is real or you don't think God is real, or whether you're leaning in or you're leaning away, whether you want to be a part, whether you're acknowledging God's will or maybe you're not. And it's just beyond all that, it's just a scripture that teaches the principle of how life works. Works for everybody this way. And I love this scripture. It says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Now, it'd be great if the Bible just finished with that. Come on. There's just joy ahead. Everything is just ice cream and bedroom slippers. Come on, somebody. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. There is wonderful joy ahead. But look what it says. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Now look what it says about these trials. They're just not happening in our life. They're not random. They're not disconnected. We don't go through life and just say that things are happening without rhyme and reason. No, no, no. There's a rhythm that is happening here. And it says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. There's something that the trials and the tests and the ups and downs and the valleys of life, there's something about them that can show something, that can reveal something, that can bring to light something, that can make something plain and simple. And the Bible says that you go through things and that there are things that happen, and that when you and I decide that we're going to go through things and that we're going to stay in it, it'll show that your faith is genuine, it's authentic. It reveals something. Tests and trials reveal something about life. It says, it is being tested as fire tested purifies gold. Your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Look what it says right here. So when your faith remains strong, when you hang in there, when you continue, through many trials, it will bring much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ, and there's that word, is revealed to the whole world. There's going to be a revealing. So Peter talks about the revealing of Jesus in the end times when Jesus is going to come back and those kind of things. But more importantly, it also talks about how when you walk through things and you remain strong in your faith and your faith is genuine and authentic, that it shows something about life. There's a showing of life. There's a revealing that God wants to do. It is God's will to be revealed in you and to be revealed through you. Can I have a good amen? That's the plan of God. To be made known through his son Jesus to each of our lives. And then once we know him, we live a life of making him known. It's literally that type of purpose. That's just so simple. I know it sounds simple, but that is the journey. That is kind of Christianity 101 for us. Lord, I want to know you, even though I've not been perfect, even though I've made some mistakes, even though there's some situations, even to this day, there's some storms and there is some, trials. But I want to know you. And by knowing you, then I want to live a life that makes you known to other people. I want you to be made known in my life and in my heart. And that if you're made known, then I can make you known where I work and in my family and with those around me. I know it sounds simple, but literally, God is wanting to reveal himself to you through worship and through the word and through others and even through the things you go through. Because matter of fact, there's a scripture in Romans that said that all things work together. God is working things together. Now, we may not see it. We may not understand it. It may be a little bit of a maze, which sometimes life feels like a maze. You're just going into different moments and you're not seeing any meaning to it. You're not seeing any purpose to it. But God is working. God is doing something. And so Peter says, let your faith remain. Don't stop. Don't jump out. Don't abandon. Stay in it. Because when your faith is it remains, it's going to show that your faith is genuine. See, can I tell you something? I can learn a lot through your life, through your successes. But I also learn some things through the battles that you go through. See, I learned things from your life from the mountaintop. But I learned a lot from your life about how you handle your valley. I don't know about you. I just don't want somebody to tell me all their good stuff. Every once in a while, I need to know that somebody went through pain. Somebody went through a battle. Somebody faced something. That kind of helps me in my life. That kind of helps me get through parenting. I need to talk to a parent every once in a while that said there were times I wanted to kick all my kids out the house. Come on, somebody. But we made it through it. That helps me in my life. That gives me courage. It gives me some staying ability. Hey, hang in there. We went through some things, but we made it. We had a dark moment, but we made it. That's what Peter's saying. God wants to be revealed so that you and I can live a life that we reveal him to other people. Now, my first pastor, when I came to Christ, I got involved with a little church there, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and it was a small church, like a little baby church. About 50 chairs, about half of them were full on a Sunday. He's a good man. Now, he's an angry preacher. I don't know if you've ever been in a little angry church where, you know, preach a little mad, a little angry. Let me tell you something right now. Look at me. He get a little angry preacher once. Look up here. Terrified. Like, man, he coming to my house. I mean, he's just that kind of guy. He's just angry. Preach forever. I mean, he did a whole series on Sunday morning. You told him to preach on, he'd say, I plan on it. He'd say, let me tell you something right now. If you don't like it, don't let the back door hit you in the backside. Y'all go on and leave. There's five people waiting on your seat. Where are they? Can we invite them in? Because ain't nobody up in here. I mean, good man, the long-winded preacher. We never made it to lunch. We always went to dinner. Come on. We go to church at 10 o'clock. We hope that we get out before dark. It was a long church, angry preacher, but he was a good man, and he was one of those kind of guys that was a little mysterious. You didn't always understand where he was going with things. I'll never forget, I met with him, and I, at 19 years old, I felt a call. I felt I wanted to make a difference with my life, and you know, and it was our, you know, I went to him and said, man, I just want to be a part. I feel like I want to make a difference, and so he put me in the growth track. I didn't really understand what it was. And I don't know if y'all remember this movie, The Karate Kid, where, you know, the kid goes to the coach, and he's wanting to fight. He's wanting to punch people. He's wanting to do karate moves. And he's got him out there waxing cars and painting fences and wax on and wax off. And he don't understand why he's doing all that. But the coach knows that in those things, something is going to be revealed. That even in the hard practice, something is going to be revealed in the battle. My pastor kind of approached life that way. So I went to him and said, I want to be in ministry. He said, great, I'm going to put you in the prayer ministry. I didn't ask to be in the prayer ministry, but he felt I needed to be in it. So at 19 years old, I was in a prayer meeting with five senior adult women. And it's not like they had been seniors for like a day. They've been seniors a while. And me. And we prayed. And then I went to him and said, Pastor, I'm learning how to pray, but what was it? Wax on, wax off. I didn't understand it. He was revealing something. And then he later on said, I think it's time for you to do some ministry where you're among the people. And so I was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting ready to lead me a small group. Going to be teaching, going to be doing some stuff. And he gave me the ministry of the vacuum. Put a vacuum in my hand. Now, when I went through the growth track, I didn't check vacuum ministry. It wasn't my personality test or anything like that. That's what he needed me to do. What was he doing? He was doing wax on, wax off. And he knew that that was going to reveal something in my life, that God was going to reveal himself through the small things, that through prayer and through serving God's house. What I didn't know what was happening was I was beginning to love God's house, and I was beginning to connect with God and learn how to talk to God. I didn't think anything was happening, but God was showing himself to me. Can I have a better amen? You know, I went to him later, and he said, "Dean, I think it's time for you to preach a little bit. So get ready to preach." And so next Sunday I came to church. I said, "Man, finally you're going to let me up in that pulpit. Get some things straight. We're going to go to lunch early. Come on. And we're going to get to Bojangles at about 11 o'clock. I mean, we're going to get up out of here." And he said, and when I walked in, he said, "Hey, you're going to be doing the 9, 10, 11-year-old Sunday school class, the boys' Sunday school class." And I went in there for 52 weeks and preached to those little devils. I mean, those little kids. And he looked at me and said, "I need you to commit 52 weeks. If you miss one Sunday, don't come back to this church. Wax on, wax off." See, I didn't understand what he was doing. It didn't make any sense to me, that process. But he knew some things about life that I didn't know. He knew that through that commitment, he knew that through that sacrifice, that God was going to reveal himself to me so that he could be revealed through me. So I'd preach to those kids, and, you know, they'd be going crazy, bouncing off the walls, metal chairs, scratching, putting boogers on each other, and fighting each other. I'm trying to preach and give them Jesus. I didn't even know the Bible. I was just preaching on stuff in the Bible altogether. I was just like Moses and Noah. They were hanging out with Peter, and they went to Burger King, and the kids were raising their hands saying, "I don't think that's in the Bible." I was like, "Listen, it's like a gumbo. It's all in there. Y'all don't even know nothing anyway, you little devils. Work with me." Just in the pot. God was revealing himself to me. I didn't know it, but he was showing me something. Because in all of our lives, He wants to be made known. He wants to know your marriage. He wants to know you as a parent. He's wanting to know you in your struggle. He doesn't run away from your valley. He doesn't run away from your pain. He's not, squeamish or nervous or like a rare leper. It's just hiding out and just one movement, and it's like a little small deer, and it just runs away. God is actively pursuing us and is wanting to know us even in our valley and pain, even in our test and trial. He's wanting to be made known so that through it, when your faith remains, we will make him known to broken, lost, hurting humanity. And guess what? Such are us. You know, I remember back in the day, Pastor Mike, when, you know, every once in a while you'd run into a family and there was somebody in their family fighting addiction. It's hard to find a family now that's not touched with the pain of addiction. Somewhere in their family, we know someone that is struggling or that their life has been less because of addiction. So God wants to show himself strong with us. I'm going to give you four ways, just give you some application. I know this is a church that wants to help you take steps, and I want to give you some steps, kind of some handles. So I'm going to give you four ways God has revealed to us and through us. Here's the first way. I believe it happens when I pray. Oh, when I pray, I learn some things about life when I pray. It's amazing to me how I see life differently from my knees. I can be mad at somebody, get on my knees, and start praying for them. You know what? It's interesting. Prayer is just talk. Prayer is when I talk to God and God talks to me. It's not something to be afraid of. And through talk and through communication, you learn things. Everybody's been through this. Have you ever kind of sort of met someone and got a bad impression? You've been like at a party or a gathering or playing ball or being at a dinner, and there's somebody there, and you see them for about 10 seconds, and you made a decision, I don't like them. I don't like their whole flow. I don't like their whole demeanor. Do you see the way they had their hand on their hip? Do you see her hair? I mean, did you see the weave she had? That ain't right. Did you see her nails? I mean, you know how that, you see somebody, you don't know them, but you don't like them. Am I the only one? Oh, come on, somebody. I know there's some honest people up in Life Point. You know what I mean? Where you ain't even talked to them. You've never, hey, you ever see somebody on social media you don't even know, but I don't like them? I ain't liking that, none of that. Unlike, unfollow. Don't know you, unfollow. Because I don't even like the way you did that whole thing. And then all of a sudden you meet them and you have a conversation and they tell you about their pain or their family or something that they went through. And as you discovered something about them and as you communicated with them, things changed. It's amazing to me. My wife didn't even like me when she met me. We got babies. I fell in love with her. She was like an unlike with me. Do you know how hard it is to tell somebody you love them and they say thank you? Come on, my brother. Don't put a ring. Don't put a ring on it when they're saying thank you. Hold up. I'd say I love you. She'd say thank you. Wow, I feel encouraged. Encourage you. Finally, she got in like when I was in love. But I just stayed with it. Then about 6 months later, she saw the total package. Come on, Ric Flair, Nature Boy, right here. Woo! Nature Boy. What happened? You get to know them. Prayer is the pathway where we get to know God. And God gets to know us. And in that pathway, he reveals himself and we see life differently. Here's the second thing that I think is important is when God is revealed to us, when I serve. There's something about you that can make a difference. And it's there. It's in you. I love what Ephesians says. Look at this. It says, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not by works so that anyone should boast. So the Bible's clear that we are not saved by works. But it also continues to talk and tell us that we've not been saved by works, but we've been saved for works. There's a work for you to do. Look what it says. This is a great scripture. For we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Look at this. To do good works. We were created to do good works. Not just any good works, but we were created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God Almighty put something in you that is different. It's why you care about certain things. It's why you want to join a certain team. It's why you want to lead a certain small group. There's something unique about you that God put in you that's different than you may cry and your best friend don't even cry about it. You may want to go serve something and your friend doesn't even want to go there. Why? Because you're uniquely moved by something that someone else is not moved by. There's something on the inside of you that causes motion to happen. And God put it there. And God reveals himself when you and I begin to serve in our place. That's why it's so important, the growth track. It's where we discover kind of the why and the what. We can join a team and kind of put that in circulation, our divine to-do. Here's a third thing that I think is so important. Way God reveals himself is when I love. When I love. There's something. We're so like God when we love. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave. I heard someone say that we're never more like God than when we give. Because that's what God did. God loved, therefore he gave. And when we're generous and we're faithful in our tithe, and we're giving our offerings and we're loving and we're caring and we're distributing what God has done in us and through us. We're loving people. Lord, help us to love the unlovable. Help us to love people that other people don't love. Help us to love people that we don't even like. Let us be that church that loves people, all kinds of people. Aren't you glad that God loves all kinds of people? Aren't you glad that God loved us when we were unlovable? And at times, there's some days, I'm telling you right now, I am not easy to love. I get impatient, get a little angry, get a little arrogant, get a little me, myself, and I. Boy, God loves me. Lord, help me to love people the way you love me. Because when I love people, you're revealed in my life. And then the fourth thing that I think is so important. So four ways that God has revealed: when I pray, when I serve, when I love. And then I think this is important: when I give my life away. Oh, man, God is revealed when I give my life away. You know, sometimes I look for these go-to verses. And just sometimes in life, I just need a go-to verse. I need a verse that kind of helps me stay on track. I need a verse that helps me to remember what the main thing is and keep me on the main thing. I need a verse that helps me to uncomplicate things. Sometimes I just need a real accurate, a real clear, simple. I'm a simple, I like simple. Man, you look around my wife's bathtub, she got 1,400 shampoos and conditioners. She got an exfoliator for Wednesday at 3 o'clock when it's 75 degrees outside. She got a shampoo on Sunday. You go up in my place, I got a 3-in-1. Come on, somebody. Shampoo, conditioner, and soap all in one bottle. Brother, simple. I like simple. And so sometimes I'll say, Lord, give me a simple verse to help me stay on track. And this is one of those verses. It's in 1 Timothy. I'll finish with this last verse. And Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, this is what it's all about. He says these words, chapter 6, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Look what it says. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. I love these next phrases. To be generous. Watch this. Willing to share. It actually means willing to give your life away. Willing to let go of. Willing to share. This is important. In this way, not another way. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation, which speaks of a legacy, as a firm foundation for the coming age. And then Paul says, Timothy, remember that when you do that, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Timothy, I want you to get a hold of life, not that fake life, not that appearance of life, not that life that don't mean anything, not that life that everybody else is trying to live, not that life that other people intended for you to live, but I want you to get a hold of life that is truly living, and you do it when you give your life away. So actually, life is revealed when you release your life. Sounds like when Jesus said that those that hold on to their life will lose their life. But those who give their life will find it. Hold it, lose it, release it, discover it. It's like the opposite of the world we live in. God says, I want to reveal myself to you so that then I can use you to reveal me to other people. That's what I want to do. And one of the ways you do that is make a decision. I'm going to give my life away. I'm going to live a life of generosity. Even through my pain, even through my struggles, even though my life's not been perfect, even though I've had my tests and my trials, even though I've had my failures and my sins, God says, I can do something even with the mess. And I can use it to bless somebody else's life. Can I have a good amen? You know, there's a show I was thinking about the other day. And I was growing, you know, a couple years ago. I love this show. It made me feel happy when I would watch it. It's a happy show. I love that your daughter, is it Lucy? This morning I said, when we were leaving, she rode with Pastor Mike and I. And she said, have a happy Sunday. I like that. That'll be the motto of Life Church. It's a place where you can have a happy Sunday. I don't need no more sad Sundays. Happy Sunday. So this show makes me happy. It's called Extreme Home Makeover. I don't know if you remember that show. It's awesome. The guy who led this show, his name was Ty Penning. He's like, what's up? Ooh. I mean, he's fired up, man, crushing the Red Bulls. Man, just always amped up, man, had his tight necklaces, his decorative jeans, his sandals. He was awesome. So you show up at people's doors, knock on their door, and maybe it was a foster care home, or maybe their husband was deployed, or maybe they'd been through a storm, which you did for the tornadoes, all that kind of stuff. And he'd show up and just, "What's up? Woo!" You know, it's like a husband and a wife and some kids. Ah! And he's like, "You know, we've come here to Stream Home Makeover." And he was like, come on, Joneses, come on. Puts them in a shuttle. They go to Disneyland. Then everybody just descends on the, you know, everybody just shows up. And, you know, it's like contractors and bulldozers. Beep, beep, beep. In this house, they've just got this situation. They don't have enough bedrooms and things are tore up. They don't have the money and they can't do it for themselves. So the whole community comes in and they respond and they begin to do an extreme home makeover. Most awesome thing ever is midway through, you know, the Joneses are on the monorail going to Disney World. We're heading over to Frontierland and Ty comes up on the iPad. "What's up? Ooh!" Kids are like, "Ah!" The mom's like, "Oh, gosh." Dad's like, "I'll tell you what, I love that tie. You know, I like that tight necklace. And, you know, it's just awesome." And so you can't wait to get here. You're not going to believe it. Can't show it to you right now. So 3 or 4 days later, you know, the chauffeur limousine picks them up at the airport, brings them over to their house. You know, the kids are bouncing all over the place, going crazy. And all of a sudden, you know, they're there, and they get out of the car. They're holding their eyes, but they don't want them to see the house. And you know why? And they've got a bus in front of it. It's like, you know, the bus is there, the community's there. And they're all excited. Ty's like, "Whoa!" You know, he's got all his co-stars there with him. The community's going crazy. Going crazy, plumbers and electricians and all these kind of people. And he says, "Listen, we're going to show because of your sacrifice, because we love you," and they're crying. "Oh, God, oh, God." And you ready to see her? "Yeah, yes, yeah." He's like, "Okay, ready? Move that bus. Come on. Come on, church. Move that bus. Move that bus." All of a sudden, the bus moves out the way, and there's this house that they could never do themselves. And it's just like, "Ah!" And, you know, the husband's like, "I'll tell you what, Mark, there you go." And the kids are like, "Ah!" And the woman, normally, I love when she's a Christian because she always gets blessed, like, "Glory!" "Ah!" Oh, I've been in them churches. I'll go back right now. And you get blessed. "Ah!" They go inside. There's like a waterfall. There's like llamas making coffee from Peru. Michael Jordan's there. Ah, why? And we love it. Why? Because something gets done for them that they cannot do for themselves. Church, let me tell you something. You and I are called to move the bus to reveal Jesus to broken humanity. Our love, our care, our generosity. It reveals Jesus. We can reveal Jesus to broken humanity. Because there's some people that they're in a situation they cannot do for themselves. But you and I, we get to be Jesus to people. Because that's the definition of grace. Something be done for me that I cannot do myself. Amen. Hey, let's be that church. Let's be those people in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. And Lord, we thank you that we have called, Lord, you have called us to come close. So that, Lord, our life could be like an invitation. Nothing like getting a good invitation. Let us live our life in a way that it's an inviting life. My love, my care. It's not how much money I got. It's not what I've been through. It's not I'm single again. I'm a blended family. None of that matters. What matters, be revealed, God. Be revealed in me and be revealed through me. Maybe you're here today and you feel far from God. You want to say yes to Jesus Christ. Not going to take long and not going to have you come forward or embarrass you. But maybe you're here today and you just say, "I just need God in my life. I need to invite Jesus to be my Lord and Savior." We want to give you that opportunity. I know when you came in, You received a connection card through your worship guide. We want to connect with you, and we're going to get you to fill that out. Just one moment. So important. But if you're here today and just say, Dino, can you pray for me? I just need to give my life to Christ. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. That's you with every head bowed, every eye closed, all across this room. You say, Dino, pray for me. I'm going to lead you in prayer, and I want to connect with you. If that's you, can you just slip up your hand? Come on. Thank you. Wow. Hands are going up all across the room. New beginning. Dino, new fresh start. I need to invite Jesus into my life. Lord, you see every hand that's raised. Can I have everyone in the room? Let's all stand together. I'm going to lead you in prayer. Let's everyone stand together. I'm going to lead you in prayer. And we're going to worship. Let's all pray this prayer together. Maybe you want to pray it out loud. Don't have to. Just pray this. Pray this prayer from your heart, especially if you raised your hand or you're committing your life to Jesus Christ. You're inviting Jesus to be Lord of your life. Just pray this. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Invite you into my life.
I invite you into my life.
Forgive me for my sins.
Forgive me for my sins.
I believe that you died.
I believe that you died.
Just say it from your heart. That you rose again.
That you rose again.
And so today. I confess you as Lord.
I confess you as Lord.
Give me a new beginning.
Give me a new beginning.
Give me a fresh start.
Give me a fresh start.
Reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself.
So that you can be revealed through me.
So that you can be revealed through me.
Now, Father, I just pray for Life Point Church. I pray, God, that we will be the church that will reveal Jesus. The Lord, that our life and our giving and our sacrifice and our serving and our caring and our noticing and how we give our tithe and how we give our time. And Lord, where we're apart, God, when we give our life away, Lord, that our life will reveal Jesus. Lord, let my giving, let my love, let my care help move the bus in people's life that they can't see hope. They can't see healing. They don't see a future. They don't see that God loves them. Let me live my life in a way, Lord, that moves the bus for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on.